what you're talking about. It's a kind that'll make you love your neighbor. You know, Satan would say turn him out. It's a kind that will comfort you in sorrow. Never ever fails to make you shout. You're talking about that old time religion. I know what you're talking about. Everybody is talking about something you can hear as a crowd passes by. Talking about their wealth and their money, the things of this world they can buy. I don't know how to talk to a billionaire. To compare, we're paupers, no doubt. But if you're talking, they turn him out. It's a kind that will comfort you in sorrow. Never fails to make you shout. You're talking about that old time religion. I know what you're talking about. Tell you how Jesus saved me. He washed my old sins away. I'd like to tell you how he kept me through the storm clouds, oh, and the rain. I'd like to talk about his coming when I see his dear face in the clouds. If you're talking about that old time religion, talk about how he saved me. He washed all my sins away. I'd like to tell you how he kept me through the storms, the shadows and the rain. I'd like to talk about his coming when I see his dear face in the clouds. If you're talking about that old Jesus saved me, he washed my sins away. I'd like to sit down and tell you how he kept me through the storm clouds, the shadows and the rain. I'd like to tell you about his coming when I see his dear face in the clouds. Some praise.
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. Let's all stand together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25 through 29. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. For a few moments tonight, I want to deal with the subject, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth in demonstration and power. Anoint these lips of clay and anoint the ears that they would hear. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. The church says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. For a few moments tonight, we're dealing with the subject, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Our text is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 through 29. You see, when he began to quote this, "Yet once more I shall shake not the earth only, but also heaven." This is a quote from Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. I'd like to read that for you. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet one more time," and it's in a little while, coming up in the future, "I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the dry land. I'm going to shake all nations, that the desire of all nations may come to me. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." This was talking, given a revelation of what, a prophetic word of what God said would happen in the future. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 3 that Jesus is being a son over his own house, whose house are we. We are the house of God. We have this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You see, Jesus Christ is coming back as King of Kings. He is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, in the beginning, God created Adam in his image and in his likeness. And he said, "Adam, I'm going to make you to be prophet, priest, and king." But we know through the transgression and sin came into this world that Adam thwarted those three things as being prophet, priest, and king. But Jesus Christ came as the second man, Adam. He came first to restore prophet. He was the voice of God on the face of this earth. "Never spake a man like this man. He spake to the winds and that winds and seas obeyed. He spake to the lame and the lame began to walk. He spoke to the dumb and the dumb began to talk. He went to the tomb of Lazarus after he had been dead for 4 days. And he said, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And Lazarus came up out of that tomb. He was God's voice on the face of this earth. Jesus right now is the priest. He not only is the priest, but he was a sacrifice. The Jews did not kill him. The Roman Empire could not kill him. He freely gave down his life. He was the sacrifice. He freely gave his life down. Isaiah said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." And when Jesus said those final words, "It is finished," the sacrificial offering was paid. The redemptive price had been made. And now whosoever will, let him come to the throne of grace. He was not only the sacrifice, but he was also the priest. And the Bible said tonight, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he ever lives to make intercession for you. He is living right now and he's interceding for you. He's praying for you. He's working on your behalf. If God be for us, who can be against us? He's already fulfilled prophet as being the voice of God on the face of this earth. He presently is my high priest who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But he's coming back again. Yes, he is. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So there's a transition going on right now. He is coming back after a kingdom. He's coming back after those that are overcomers. The kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10, Jesus said, "When you pray, I want you to pray, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven.'" Jesus said in 6:13, when you conclude your prayer, you say, "For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever." Hallelujah. You give the kingdom back to Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Peter said, "Under the power of the Holy Ghost, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Upon this confession, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm going to give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That whatsoever you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. In Luke chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In John chapter 3, verse 5, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He said, oh, Jesus, how can I enter in to this kingdom? How can I come in to this spiritual realm where God is witnessing his power? Jesus said, the only way to enter into this kingdom is you must be born again. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, the Bible said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. In Colossians 1:13, he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you get to John chapter 14, Jesus talks about the Holy Ghost. He said, it's more profitable for you that I go away, because when I go away, the Father's going to send to you the Spirit of truth, the Spirit whom the world cannot receive. And when he has come, he is going to draw all men unto Christ. When he has come, he will testify of Jesus. He's not going to draw people to a denomination, to a personality. He's not going to draw them to an order. He's not going to draw them to a doctrine. He is going to draw them to one and only, that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the captain of our salvation. We love you, Jesus. Jesus said, when he has come, he's going to convince you of sin. Say sin. Of righteousness and of judgment. He said he's going to convince the world of sin because they don't believe on me. But when the Holy Ghost gets done convincing them that they are lost and they need a Savior, they're going to believe upon my name. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to convince them of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. And the things that I do shall ye do and more of them because I go to my Father. He said he's going to convince you of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And he said, when he convinces you of judgment, there will be evangelical fervor that's going to burn in you, and you will turn the world upside down. So 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after Calvary, the Bible said there came a sound on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing and a mighty wind. It filled the house where they were sitting. Cloven tongues of fire set on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And the first primary work of the Holy Ghost is to convince of sin. Peter stood and with boldness he preached Jesus Christ, how he was crucified and resurrected from the dead. And the Spirit of God moved upon him, and men cried, what must I do to be saved? That's the primary work of the Holy Ghost. The secondary work of the Holy Ghost is to convince of righteousness, that you may do the works of Christ. The next working of the Holy Ghost was to convince of judgment. And the Bible said that they turned the world upside down. If you go to any history class in any university, they will tell you that the first century, 51 to 52% were Christians without a television, without a radio, without a denomination, without a Bible school, without a concordance. They turned the world upside down. But the Bible said in James chapter 5, verse 7, he said, be patient for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the husbandman waiteth long for the precious fruit of the earth and has patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. To that Hebrew church, he wasn't talking something they didn't understand. They knew that the early rain was a time of planting, and the latter rain was the time of harvest. Oh yes, he said what you're experiencing now, there's going to be a renewal at the end time. You see, we didn't exist before 1900. There were no Pentecostal denominations. There were no charismatics. There were none of those that were called spirit-filled. We didn't exist. But at the turn of the century, as the latter rain began to outpour, they called us ecstatic. They called us trash. They called us hillbillies. They said we'd never amount to anything. But if you get on your internet tonight and research Pentecostalism, charismatic, spirit-filled, whatever you want to call it, we number over 700 million and rapidly increasing. Hallelujah. Show me another place tonight that's got a Monday night crowd that's magnifying God, that's praising the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Give God a clap and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we see now in that apostolic renewal that took place in the year 1900, we see the same thing happening again. The first thing that happened when the turn of the century in the year 1900 was this group of people were convinced of sin. And Lord have mercy, were they ever sanctified? They were sanctified above sanctified and more sanctified. And after that message of sanctification, then the Holy Spirit took them into the convincing of righteousness. Oral Roberts' tents began to go up, and healing ministries everywhere, all around the world, doing the works of Christ. The next step here of the mighty power of the Holy Ghost is to convince of judgment, that a last great harvest of souls is coming. I believe that's where we are right now. As we look at the old covenant, we see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, we do. Abraham is a man of the altar. He's a man of sacrifice. And as we look at this covenant in the new covenant, we see from 1900 to the year 1940, we see this first generation of spirit-filled Pentecostals. They are people of sacrifice. They are people of the altar. They are people of prayer. Then from 1940 until 1980, we see the Isaac generation. Abraham, a man of prayer in the altar. The Isaac generation, well diggers. They knew how to get water out of their own well. They didn't have to have an 800 number. Didn't have to run to Tulsa. Didn't have to run to Pensacola. Didn't have to run to Kentucky. Didn't have to run to Toronto. They knew that inside of them was a refreshing, a well that was running over, that everything they needed was in the well, and all they had to do was draw it up. Hallelujah. Everything you need is inside that well. They were well diggers. But in 1980, you have the Jacob generation, and how sad it was to see the fall of PTL and televangelists as they began to fall down. And it looked like this charismatic Pentecostal movement would come to a halt. It looked like everything would stop. As a matter of fact, commentaries have told us if the momentum would have continued, if PTL had not fallen, if televangelists had not fallen, that by now over 90% of the United States would be charismatic, that there would be churches all over the world, all over the United States that believe this because of the momentum. But it looks like this Jacob generation, it looks like that they've come so crooked. Jacob's name means manipulator, conniver, someone that is crooked, someone that's learned all the shenanigans and all the manipulation. But that's not the end of Jacob's story. The Bible said that Jacob has a personal encounter with God. And with that personal encounter with God, God's going to wrestle with his church. He's going to wrestle this church down until he touches the flesh, and the flesh comes in subjection to the spirit. He's not coming after a bunch of deadbeats. He's coming after a triumphant church. I don't care what the sign is on the door. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. He's going to shake every denomination. He's going to shake every home. He's going to shake every minister. He's going to shake every musician. He's going to shake shake every televangelist. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And if it's not in the kingdom, it's going to fall off. But it's if it's in the kingdom, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Triumphant. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Come on, tell him that you love him. I love you, Jesus. Come on, you won't make me nervous. I love you, Jesus. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen up on thee. For behold, darkness is going to cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. They're going to have HBO, Cinemax, a movie channel, Showtime. It's going to be so worldly. Their internets are going to pump human sewage right in their own houses. They're going to have the filthiest things to deal with. But in the middle of this gross darkness upon people, when the debauchery of sin and depravity of mankind seems to be slop-gutting in the face of God, the Bible said, the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles, that's everybody that's not a Jew, is going to come to the light and to the brightness of his kingdom. I'm believing that God's going to have a people. I believe he's always had a people. I believe there is revival, one more wave going to come to America. But it's not going to be somebody's canned revival. It's coming when the king comes to the kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king. You can shake all the flags you want to shake. You can dance all the dances you want to dance. You can pull all the shenanigans you want to pull. But until Jesus Christ comes in, riding on a white horse with a scepter in his hand, and he takes charge of every service, of every song, of every worship, there will be no revival. But the moment we lift him up, he said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw. That's why you're going to have to build a balcony. That's why you're going to have to go to two services. Not just because you're building up a kingdom for yourself. This is the kingdom of God. Everything that can be shaken, it will be shaken. If it's not in the kingdom, it's falling off. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Come on, help me while I preach. Yeah. Yeah. You might say, I've never done that before. It's about time you cranked yourself up and started. Oh, hallelujah. Jacob. Hallelujah. Jacob. Oh, yes. Oh, oh, oh. Jacob's got a son. The only one that's carried over in the new covenant. His name is Joseph. Hallelujah. Joseph's got a lot of brothers. Yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. When he was back there in the tent, they didn't like him. No, no, no. Because God put a coat of many colors on him. He was in those storefronts, laying hands on the sick, and they were recovering. It was like in our little hole in this church. Hallelujah. We were so poor, they had a barrel in the back of the church so you could get food out. We couldn't even afford screens, and the birds would fly in and out of the windows in the summer. We were so poor, our preachers, most of them couldn't read. A lot of them couldn't read. It wouldn't have done any good. The Baptists felt sorry for us and gave us their old pews. And another Baptist church gave us some song books, or we wouldn't have had anything. Oh, yeah, but you know what we had? A coat of many colors. Hallelujah. I said a coat of many colors. Yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And when that old preacher that couldn't read and write in that old basement when I was just about 2 years old, my sister was just born, or maybe I was a year old, my sister was just born, had all kinds of stomach troubles and difficulties, scheduled for major surgery. That old mountain preacher got up and he said, oh yeah, I feel not fire, he said, I feel far burning in my hands. God threw the coat of many colors on that old Appalachian mountain preacher. He laid his hand and God performed major surgery right on my sister. She was healed by the power of God. Myra Hendrickson spit cancer up in the garbage can. Another woman had gallstones dissolved. Cripples were being able to walk. There were demons that were cast out. They would shout their bobby pins out. They didn't have enough room to run inside the church. They'd open the door and run outside the church. I'm talking about blessed. Baptists gave us those old oak pews and they had cracks in them. And old Brother Morgan, when he would shout, he'd go, "Hey!" There was four men sitting on that bench that day. Yeah. Three of them got up to take up the offering. And when they did, the bench pinched. Brother Morgan went, "Hey!" Myra Hendrickson jumped up in the back and went, "Whoa! I feel it back here too." Two people took off running. They had six saved and about seven filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When Jesus is in the house, it doesn't take a whole lot. Just a little bit of, "I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord." They threw Joseph in the pit. Mark him off. Mark him off. Hallelujah. There's a transfer of wealth coming. I said a transfer of wealth coming. He said, "The gold is mine. The silver is mine." God doesn't care if you have things as long as things don't have you. He's going to... The finances are going to pour in where the kingdom is. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But there's some multi-millionaires and billionaires are going to be watching. Who are the righteous? Who is shining in the darkness? Who are the hypocrites? And who's the real? And once they find who the real is, they're going to get their tax deduction by sowing it into the kingdom. I'm telling you, we may have started in the pit, but we're on our way to the palace. In the name of Jesus. Turn around and tell somebody there's a transfer of wealth coming. Come on, tell them there's a transfer of wealth coming. Now, somewhere between the pit and the palace, there's Potiphar's wife. If you can get back, if you can get past her, Pharaoh's ring is coming on your hand. If you can get past her filthy movies, if you can get past her seductive talk, if you can get past her seductive dress, if you can get, I'm so sick and tired of drinking, cussing preachers, I can't hardly stand it. They can ban me from ever Christian television around, but I started off with Jesus and I'm going to end with Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. I make a promise. Say, "The gold is mine. The silver is mine." There is a transfer of wealth coming. Now, first of all, let's get this understood, what wealth is. Okay? Wealth isn't riches. Riches goes along with wealth, but that's not what wealth is. Oh. Wealth is what my mommy and daddy had in 1956 when I came into this world. They lived in a three-room shack, had a well in the front yard and an outhouse in the backyard, but my mom didn't know it was a shack. Hallelujah. My daddy told me Sunday night they didn't even have a car. He said, "You forgot to tell that part." He said, "We didn't even have a car, but they had wealth." I said, "They had wealth." Hallelujah. If you can't praise God in your shack, you'll never praise Him in a palace. If you can't praise God in that old junker that you drove up in and you got the bumper hooked up with a coat hanger and you
sack. If you can praise him in your junker, get yourself ready. There's a transfer. Yay! There's a transfer of wealth coming.
Hallelujah. There's a transfer of influence coming. Esther 4 and 14. A little poor peasant orphan girl was placed into political position for the kingdom. Uncle Mordecai said this to her. Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Don't you think you've been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is a kingdom message. There's a transfer of wealth. Transfer of influence. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm believing beyond the shadow of a doubt. If the politicians don't come here, or if they don't come to our assemblies, then God's going to vote them out and put other ones in. I'm about as far political from political things as there is. But I'm telling you, there is a change. There is the power and transfer of influence coming, because this is the time of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is not coming back after a half broken down ship that's got the sides busted out and all of us are limping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm barely going to make it. You read your Bible. You're a soldier. I said you're a soldier. Transfer of wealth. Transfer of influence. And there's going to be a transfer of health. The prosperity of Joseph is coming up on those that flee Potiphar's wife. I see it in the Nahande Heshanakai. Grant money is going to be released. Grant money is going to be released to schools, to children's programs, to teenage programs. They're going to find out that this world system isn't getting it done. Hallelujah. And you Native Americans back there, you're going to get your money too. I just came from Alaska. We've been praying up there, and they're Aleutic natives. And the Aleutic natives, she came out smiling. She says, "We can't believe it. We've been writing grants for the past 20 years, and sometimes we get a 2,000, sometimes we get 3,000. She said, "Oh, we just got a $200,000 grant." And she was shouting. She went to get the grant. She says, "I made a mistake. It was $475,000 grant." But you got to get the picture. It's just not any Aleutic natives. It's those ones that are lifting up holy hands and saying, "Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord." Acts chapter 15, verse 16. He said, "After this, I will return and I will build again." This is God speaking. "The tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up." Transfer of wealth, transfer of influence, and there's going to be a transfer of health. Because the ring is coming on Joseph's finger, and there is also the favor of Esther coming, and there is the anointing of David that's coming upon the house of God. Why? That the rest of mankind, the final harvest, might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles
who are called by my name may come unto the Lord. What's it mean when the anointing of David comes on you? Here's what David said. He said, I want that ark up here at Jerusalem. I want the blessings of God here. He put a tent for the ark. He said, I'm gonna under the power of the Holy Ghost, he wrote a new order of worship. He said, it goes like this. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will come into his courts with praise. I'm gonna praise him with clapped hands. I'm gonna praise him with a shout. I'm gonna praise him with a trumpet. I'm gonna praise him with stringed instruments. I'm gonna praise him with cymbals. I'm gonna praise him with high sounding cymbals. I'm gonna praise him with a dance. I'm going to praise him with a dance. Dancing and leaping are the same thing. So not only get used to running, you better get used to leaping too. Why? Why does God? He doesn't want this place a mortuary. He doesn't want this place a dead man service. There's nobody dead in here. The price has already been paid. Jesus has already been crucified. He's not going to the cross again. He's coming back King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is celebration. I said this is celebration. So what happens when we praise? What happens when we praise? Psalms 103 verse 3, repeat this after me. Who healeth, all thy diseases. Psalms 147 verse 3, repeat it. He healeth the broken in heart. Psalms 42 and 11, repeat it. Who is the health of thy countenance? Psalm 67 and 2, thy saving health among all nations. Psalms 30 and 2, I cried unto the Lord, and he healed me. Psalms 107 verse 20, he sent forth his word, and he healed them. Psalm 6 and 2, O Lord, heal me. Psalms 41 and 4, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. Oh, let me tell you something. When my second boy was born, he's 25 years old. 2 months before he was born, my wife was canning half-runner green beans. And we had to put up a little gate to keep Eric. Eric, the eldest, was just getting into everything. We had to keep him from going down these 6 flights of steps into the basement. My wife had just canned green beans the night before. She was taking those jars and reaching over and putting them on the step. She lost her balance to keep from hurting the baby. She was 2 months getting ready to have the child. She put her hands around her stomach and she flipped over that rail. When she knew she was going over, she put her hands to protect her stomach. She flew in the air. She hit her head, split it open, busted it right in two. We had to rush her to the hospital. They said, we can't do anything. We can only sew her up because the baby would be damaged by the radiation from the x-ray. We can't do anything. So they sewed her up. She couldn't open her mouth. She had to eat and drink out of a straw till after Joshua was born. After Joshua was born, we went back to the hospital to have some x-rays made and some checks and CAT scans and things done. When they examined her head, they said every bone from her temple to her chin was crushed. They said her mouth would never open again. They would have to take her face, peel it off, and go in and break every bone from her temple down to her chin. It would be massive surgery. It would take a lot of plastic surgery and recovery to get this thing healed. We were having service one night, and the anointing of David came up on the house. There was hand clapping. There was shouting. There was hand raising. There was foot stomping. There was dancing and leaping. There was stringed instruments playing. And Lord have mercy, I had one of those spells. My face turns ash white. My head shaking like a chicken. I come, and you don't have to do all of that. I just was under some kind of power. That's all I can tell you. I moved down to that front seat. She's sitting there with a little boy, 18 months old, and a baby in a little carriage there. She's sitting on the seat. I walked down, and under that praise, under that anointing, under that praise, you hear me? Under that praise. That's what the anointing of David's all about. That's why we're so sick. Our churches have turned into entertainment centers. They've turned into showcase cinemas. Can I preach just for a few moments? I go to church after church where you sit for 45 minutes and they sing songs you never heard of in your life. Half of them don't even make any sense. Every now and then they hit a good one. And you just sit there, you stand, you can't wait till it's over. How much longer is it going to be before they quit? The old people stand so long they can't stand it till finally they all sit down and they just huff and puff and endure it. I'm telling you what, they're going to do that little five-step program, do or die. I don't care what's going on. And we come in sick and we leave sick. And we're waiting for Mr. Wonderful to come out and wave his hand over us and blow on us and do whatever. We're waiting for all this kind of stuff. When in our praise, in the Davidic praise, in the anointing of David, I laid my hand on that little 4'11" Harlan County born in a coal mining camp. I laid my hand on her face. I heard those bones crack, pop, 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 crack, pop, 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 crack, crack, pop, 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 crack. Oh, I'd like to see Davidic praise hit this house and everybody get healed. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. There's a transfer of wealth, a transfer of influence, a transfer of healing. The anointing of David is coming back. I said the anointing of David's coming back. You shouldn't have to be pumped up, primed up. You shouldn't have to come and have somebody put a spiritual... Come here up here, boy. This one here, he's younger than you. Hallelujah. You shouldn't have to have a spiritual respirator come every time. Okay, here's what church is like this now. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody put your hands down. Spin around, turn around. One leg up, one leg down. Everybody, come on. Let me hear you say praise the Lord. High five 10 people, tell them this. High five 4 people and tell them this. High five 3 other people and tell them this. Turn around and tell somebody this. The reason why is because we're a bunch of robots, because there's nothing coming out of here. It's all coming out of here. So they come into our services drier than a prune. Not you. You're talking in the unknown. You got to put respirators on them. Props under their arms. You didn't have to do that with David. Woo! In just about the next minute, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to allow the anointing of David to come upon you. Listen, thank you, thank you. Nahan Shana Neo Kose. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, that's fanaticism. Oh, that's fanaticism. You come too late for that. You can stick me back in a holler in Kentucky if you want to. But I'm going to be healed in that holler. And I'm going to get wealth in that holler. And I'm going to have influence in that holler. Because it's coming. I said it's coming. It's coming. Yay! I I want you young men that are under 40 to get out in the aisles. Come on, you young men under 40, get out in the aisles. Come on, wherever you are, just get out in the aisles, you under 40 bunch. Because basically you're a generation that hasn't seen what I've seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason why I want you under 40s out here, because in the name of Jesus, we're going to praise God for 30 seconds. We're going to praise God for 30 seconds. You shouldn't have to be primed up. You're a young man. You're strong. You should be a leader of praise. You should be saying glory to God. Hallelujah. You should be saying thank you, Jesus. This is enough right here to turn this entire South upside down. Listen. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. If your marriage is not in the kingdom, it's going to shake. If your ministry's not in the kingdom, it's going to shake. If your money's not in the kingdom, it's going to shake. If your attitude's not in the kingdom, it's going to shake. But when the shaking's over, everything that's in the kingdom is going to stay. I want you for the next 30 seconds to give God the best praise you can give Him. Clap your hands, shout, leap, jump, I don't care. In this house, if you feel comfortable with it. If you don't, just stand there. But if you feel comfortable with it, you brothers find you a brother, you sisters find you a sister, lay hands on each other and say, God, raise up the kingdom of God. Raise up the kingdom of God. Raise up, come on. There's a transfer. Pray for each other. Let's all stand together. Listen, if you're a sinner man, if you're a backslider, if you're out of fellowship with God, you can't hardly get people saved in America because you can't get them lost. But if you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're not where you should be with God, and you want to get in on this kingdom blessing before you get shaken off, I want you to make your way wherever you are, right here in front of me. Come on. Every backslider, every person that's not where you ought to be with God, right here. Right here. Right here. Come on, quick. Every backslider, come on in the back, wherever you are. We're going to wait for you. There's more than this. Some of you are so cold in the Lord. I'm telling you, you're cold in the Lord. Listen to the Spirit of God. There's about 20 more people need to be up here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against pride right now. I come against the spirit of pride that's trying to keep people in religious bondage. They're sitting in dead churches. They're dried up. Their lives are filled with everything but the presence of God. I'm calling backsliders right now. No ho, yay, hey, hey, salabo shata. There's about 15 more need to be up here. Satan, I say turn them loose right now. I say turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're not dealing with a little old weak-kneed yellow-bellied bunch of people. You're dealing with the people that's got the keys to the kingdom. I command you to turn every backslider loose. I command you to turn everyone that's not right with God loose. I know what's going on in your mind. I'm a good person. I never said you was a bad person. I said you're not where you ought to be with Christ. Come right here. We're all going to pray a prayer together, and then we're going to shout the house down. Can we all pray this prayer together? Can we all pray this prayer together? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 here. How many of you have a lost loved one that lives within city limits that could make it tomorrow night? Anybody, you got a lost loved one in the city limits within this geographic region, within at least a 40-minute drive that could make it tomorrow night if the Holy Ghost bids them, they can get here. I'd like to see the devil turn them loose. I didn't come down here to look pretty. I didn't come down here to put on a show. I came down here to drive out the devil in Jesus' name. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I love my Jesus. I love my Jesus. I love my Jesus. Let's all pray this together. Everybody say, Father, search my heart. Forgive me, Lord, of every sin, of my human weaknesses. I receive the precious blood of Jesus to cleanse me from all sin. Father, I believe you resurrected Jesus from the dead to give to me this great salvation. Now, if you really believe that up here, all you had to do, look, I want you to lift up your hands just like this. This is David anointing. I lift up my hands and just say, close your eyes and say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody, let's sing it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, soundtrack. The Lord gave me this song, and I'll just go ahead and put it on. Did you find it? Whatever key that is, find it. Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, to heal every sickness and disease in this house tonight by the power of Jesus. This is what Jesus said to Thomas. Oh, are they who believe?
even though I don't understand, His grace is sufficient for me.
He sent forth His word and healed me
from disease and the spirit of infirmity.
From disease and the spirit of infirmity.
Second verse, when it came to me, I could just see those getting healed. We've seen hundreds, brother, and thousands of people healed as we sang this song.
Oh, redeemed to Christ, I belong. In my weakness, my faith stands.
Scriptures draw me near to the place
where I can receive.
Receive your healing right now in Jesus' name.
He sent forth His word and He healed me.
Lord, heal every sickness, God. Give us some testimonies. Let the healing virtue come and the praises. Come on, get your eyes off of me in the song. I want us to let the anointing of David come into this house. Turn your praise loose by the blood of the Lamb.
I've been touched by a healing hand.
He sent forth His word.